Many doctors think that Lyme disease is simply a tick bite. Bacteria goes to your joints. When I would go to doctors, they would say things like, well, the symptoms you're having are not Lyme related. Because doctors, they don't understand. They don't know or they don't understand that Lyme will attack the weakest systems.
This is Mind Body Matters with Greg Rennie and Rob Reiford.
Welcome, listeners. Today, another episode about the body of the mind-body connection. We're going to talk about Lyme disease today and a treatment called PEMF. Have you heard of this before at all, Rob?
What does that stand for?
I didn't know until I met my guests a little while ago. What it is, is pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, also known as low field magnetic stimulation. It's a gadget that's being used, and it's apparently being used to treat Lyme disease. And we have a guest today that is a practitioner, a healer, that uses this PEMF for treating Lyme disease and other illnesses. I haven't heard of about it until I talked to her about it.
What is this gadget?
Apparently, it's this round coil, and you put it on your chest, or you have your practitioner put it on your chest, and then I guess they kind of dial in what your problem is, and then apparently it realigns, or maybe the energy has some kind of effect on the cells in the body. I'm not sure.
Oh, so it's not a thing that diagnoses you. It's actually something that treats you.
Okay. You can go to a practitioner like our guest today, Suzanne Casamento, or you can buy it as well. You know, and then it comes with an app, so that when you put this thing on your chest, then you dial in what your problem is, and apparently, you know, it realigns. But we're gonna find out more, you know, talking with Suzanne. But a bit about Lyme disease. I didn't know very much about that, but I did some research. Rob, 14% of the world's population, no matter where you are, 14% of the population has or has had tick-borne Lyme disease.
So when you say tick-borne, you've been bitten by a tick.
Yeah, bitten by a tick. Yeah. Okay. I heard someone, they got it because they're outlying in tall grass, and apparently there's a lot of ticks, even where we are in Canada. And if you get bit by a tick, then this bacteria that it has gets inside your body.
And it causes big
problems. Even, well, we were talking earlier, maybe really big problems with being bit by a tick. Today, we have author and practitioner Suzanne Casamento on the show today. And she's had Lyme disease. Our guest has had Lyme disease, and she found that this AMP coil or PEMF worked. And so then she went on to become a practitioner and healer. She's an instructional designer, and she has a Bachelor of Arts degree in creative writing and has written two books, Fingerprints and Choosing Tally. Now, we both agree here, Rob, we're not quite sure what PEMF is, so I've got a lot of questions. Any questions you think I should ask at all as you're producing it and I'm talking to her?
How does it work?
Folks, we're being really honest here. We really don't understand how it works, but that's why we have guests come on the show and talk about things that we're very curious about. Today, enjoy our conversation with Suzanne Casamento.
I'm super excited to talk with you. I mean, you know, it's funny, when you and I had our conversation a couple of weeks ago, I kept thinking while we were talking, oh, we should be recording this.
Yes, I know. I thought the same thing. I saw your email. I totally agree, because we kind of really got into it. And I think a lot of my excitement and interest comes from working in radio and understanding a little bit about radio engineering and the use of frequency. So this, you know, this makes perfect sense to me. For some people, it might be a little bit odd and hard to understand. But I mean, the way you explain it to me on the phone is great. When we talked about the mind-body connection being, you know, the premise of the show, the focus of the show. And we got into some really cool conversations about the body is, you know, primarily water, and, you know, how the moon affects your body. So, I mean, we know that there's a strong connection between our mental health and physical health, but based on your experience, and how do you see that connection? Like, what have you found that reinforces that those two work together?
Yeah. So the connection for me, or the moment, I don't know if it was a moment. I started to see a somatic therapist.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the goal there was to sort of reassociate myself with my body after, you know, our culture is so focused. It basically leads us to disassociate with our bodies, right? Mm-hmm. We numb ourselves with our phones. We numb ourselves with alcohol.
Oh, for
sure. Numb ourselves with, you know, TV, all kinds of things. And so for years, I had been avoiding trauma and basically just working really hard to stay in a state of numbness so I didn't have to face anything or heal anything. So with the somatic therapy, we did a lot of talk therapy, but we also did a lot of exercises to help me recognize what was going on in my body. Mm-hmm. And really help start to clear some energetic pathways so that I could heal. But it took me a long time to realize that, you know, the issues are in the tissues. And so I had a profound moment. I went to a breathwork meditation class when I had never done anything like this before. One of my best friends had recently died of breast cancer, and she had these two little babies. And my friends and I, a close-knit group of us, were really working very hard to keep her and her babies alive up until the time that she died. And probably, I don't know, within 6 months of her death, I went to this breathwork meditation class. And so it's a series of like very deep, fast breaths. And, you know, so you take a couple breaths into your chest and then a couple breaths into your belly, and then very fast way. So during the breathwork meditation class, the song "You Are My Sunshine" came on the playlist. It was the last song on the playlist. And that was the song that her mom used to sing to her when she was a child.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like very, everything was "You Are My Sunshine." She had "You Are My Sunshine" on her wall.
Oh,
I mean, it was,
wow,
you know, a really big thing for her. And I started bawling. I mean, just burst into like sobs during this breathwork meditation class. And then I started to hear, you know, in my head, "I'm so mad at you. I'm so mad at you. I'm so mad at you for dying."
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I had lung infections. I had kidney infections. I had bladder infections. And I knew, but I wasn't connecting that that our major organs are, you know, correlate to emotions. So I wasn't thinking about the fact that lungs held grief, and, you know, the liver holds anger, and
most people don't make that connection.
Fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that moment, it sort of all clicked.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the teacher mentioned it, and I was like, "Oh my God, yes." You know, like all of these emotions are holding all these infections in my organs. My organs are holding all of these infections because of these trapped emotions. And so then I started doing breathwork meditation all the time. But that was like a really huge realization that I wasn't going to heal physically until I healed trauma.
And we may have talked about this on when we talked on the phone, but there's a very well-known book out there by Bessel van der Kolk, "The Body Keeps a Score." So
right.
A lot of people are talking about this now. So it's not that far out what you're saying. And
yes,
regarding trauma, right?
Yes. So I read that book when I was sick. I read that book in, I think, maybe 2016 and or 17. And it was profound. I mean, just to understand that there was scientific evidence that actually backed that I could hold my ancestors' trauma in my cells. And so, I mean, I think in the book there are examples of people who had ancestors who were in wars and saw, you know, horrible things experienced horrible trauma in battle. And then people who their sons, daughters, and loved ones would end up having PTSD and not knowing where it came from,
right.
You know, and it wasn't theirs, right? And so that was absolutely fascinating. And then after that, actually, I ended up going to an energy healer who told me the same thing, you know, that we carry ancestors' traumas and generational trauma and everything. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, in the book. So it was amazing that this was something that the energy healer knew and just knew divinely and actually was backed up with science.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now, I mean, now that book is everywhere.
Almost every episode, every interview, that book comes up. Because we're talking about the mind-body connection, so that book comes up all the time, for sure.
That's great.
I'm interested in knowing, you know, before this discovery and understanding about trauma in the body, when you're younger, how did you see life? How did you see the mind-body connection? And how did you discover AmpCoil? Or I think AmpCoil kind of found you in some ways.
Yeah, it definitely found me in some ways. Yeah, when I was younger, you know, so I grew up in a small town in New Jersey and in the 80s. And, you know, if you're a Generation Xer,
I am.
you might relate. Yeah. So you might relate to things were different back then. And
yeah.
My household was very chaotic. My dad yelled a lot when I was a kid. I was very scared. I was scared as a child. You know, and so I would hide in my room and read books because that was safe, right? Which is great because that in itself was a gift. I ended up becoming a writer due to my love of words. And, but, you know, as I grew up, like it was the 80s, right? And so we were in New Jersey. We drank a lot, you know. I grew up as a teenager. It was normal to smoke cigarettes, drink. Smoke weed,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there was a lot of, that was just normal. And so, so I did that, you know, throughout my teen years and my 20s and, you know, in my 20s, I moved to Hollywood and ran around with a bunch of friends. And I mean, same thing, more partying. And then in my 30s, a bit more of the same, right? And then when I was 40, I started to get sick. And disease always comes for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it comes from to stop you from doing something that you're doing,
mm-hmm.
to tell you something. And so for me, it came to tell me, hey, you can't do this anymore. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. And so I then changed everything. But that whole time, right, I wasn't looking at unhealed trauma from my childhood. I wasn't looking at, you know, or my teenage years. Because with that, as fun as it is to be partying and drinking all the time, you know, bad things happen. And so, you know, there was a lot of stuff that occurred that I had never dealt with. And so, so Lyme disease came along and was like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, what a sign. What an unfortunate sign, eh, to come along.
Yeah, it was like, you need to get some help.
Yeah.
And so I did. And as for the AmpCoil, I didn't discover that. I was sick for six years before I discovered AmpCoil.
I think you're doing tapping and Reiki at that time, is that right?
Yeah, so I started by going to doctor after doctor after doctor who was basically saying, well, your tests look fine. And, oh, you seem fine. Are you sure this isn't in your head? You know, doing all that medical gaslighting that they're so good at.
Yeah.
And really not giving me any answers. And so then I went to a naturopath and then a homeopath. And then I saw a Chinese herbalist. And the Chinese herbalists were helpful. That would definitely, you know, they did muscle testing. And they started to define things. So at the time I was having infection after infection. It was like chronic urinary tract infections, bladder infections, kidney infections, kind of like gross stuff in my lungs. I had vaginal infections, chronic yeast infections. I didn't realize, but I was living in a place that had hidden mold in it. And so it wasn't until then that I really started to get sick. because I was diagnosed with Lyme in 2003. I got bitten by a tick and I had a classic bullseye, and the doctor gave me antibiotics, and I took them, and then they said, well, you know, you can forget you ever had Lyme. So I did. It wasn't until 9 years later that I moved into a place
felt
that
it was gone? Like it was cured? Or yeah. Like, why would they say that?
Well, it's very peculiar yeah. with Lyme disease. Doctors seem to think that once you've been treated, you've been treated, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's very strange. And don't really believe in chronic Lyme disease. And to be honest, I felt pretty normal. I mean, as normal as you feel when you're running around and eating bad foods and drinking on the weekends and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I felt pretty normal for about 9 years. And then I moved into a place that had hidden mold. And then that's when I started getting infection after infection after infection. And going to the doctors and then the Chinese herbalist, which the doctors had no answers for me. But the Chinese herbalist then said, you know, well, you have a massive bacterial infection and, you know, you have a really strong virus and you've got an antifungal resistant massive fungal infection and all these things. So they started giving me herbs for these things and I'd feel better for a little while and then it would get bad again and there was never really a solution. But they started to kind of put names to what was going on. And then from there, I went to an environmental doctor who did bioresonance, where I held on to two metal rods. And she then saw, it was like line charts across a screen, and she could see what frequencies were showing up in my body. And so she said, you know, you've got horrible bacterial infection and a really strong virus and a massive fungal infection. And so she was echoing everything that the Chinese herbalists said. With frequencies. So the Chinese herbalist was doing it with muscle testing.
Oh, yeah.
And then the environmental doctor was doing it with frequencies. And the Western doctors were saying, well, your tests look fine.
Yeah, that's par for the course for Western thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I started to explore other things. And like you mentioned, the EFT tapping and the breathwork meditation and Reiki. And then I went to a shaman and an osteopath who was amazing. I went to a urologist who told me I had to have surgery on my bladder.
Oh, man.
And yeah. And then I went to an osteopath who did all this manual manipulation on me. And the problem was, is that I would sit down on the toilet to urinate and I couldn't. I'd had to push. And so I went to an osteopath, had one session with him, went home, sat on the toilet, and the pee fell out.
Hmm.
And this other doctor, this urologist, wanted to cut me open.
Oh, man.
So, like, I mean, I have so many stories.
Scary.
Yeah.
It must have been very frightening to hear all these different thoughts about what's going on.
It was. It was scary. But I just knew that the more I tried weird things, you know, the weirder things I tried, the better I was feeling.
More alternative ways of approaching it.
Yes, which at the time I felt were weird. Now, I mean, I feel like Western medicine is weird, and like, you know, it's the last place I go.
What helped you to have an open mind? I mean, you're talking with a Chinese herbalist and then you're talking about frequencies. You must have an open mind. What helped you kind of take that in and see it as you know, real?
It was desperation.
Yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, how many doctors could I go to that were giving me no answers? You know, and I mean, I had burning in my urinary tract, and I had, I mean, I would watch TV with a bag of frozen peas on my crotch.
Oh, jeez.
And that was going on for a long time. So, and there were other things. You know, I had massive brain fog. I had gunk in my lungs. I had what I called bowling ball head. My head felt like it was a heavy bowling ball, like at all times. I couldn't really think. So I had all these symptoms. I knew something was horribly wrong. So like, I just had to keep, searching. I wasn't going to give up. So yeah. So I went to the Chinese herbalist and I started to do everything holistically and eventually became really well.
For the audience, you mentioned about the tick, and I think people, that's all they know really about Lyme disease. Can you explain a little bit more about what it is and what it isn't so people have a better understanding what it is?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Lyme disease is a tick-borne illness. There are actually many tick-borne illnesses.
Oh.
Rickettsia, Rocky Mountain Fever, Ehrlichia, there are a few different. But Lyme disease is the Borrelia virus, bacteria, that can be transmitted from a tick into a human. And so for me, I was at a barbecue in New Jersey, and I was bitten by a tick. And the next morning, I had this incredible pain on my back. And at the time, West Nile virus was all over,
right?
Yeah, that was all over the news. And so I said to my friend, I think I have West Nile virus. And she's like, you do not have West Nile virus, you know, stop being a drama queen. So I said, look at my back. Did something bite me? You know, and she said, oh, my God, there's a bullseye. And so Lyme disease in 50% of the cases will present in a bullseye rash, which looks like a bite in the middle and then a red ring around it. So mine was huge across my back and I had two red rings. Or super, super swollen, and I was like bent over. And in that way, I was lucky because the bullseye rash only appears in about 50% of cases. And so many people go their whole lives not knowing why they feel so terrible.
Because they didn't have that obvious mark that presents.
Exactly. And Lyme disease is widely misunderstood. Many doctors think that Lyme disease is simply a tick bite. Bacteria goes to your joints, causes swelling in joints, joint pain. And so when I would go to doctors, they would say things like, well, the symptoms you're having are not Lyme related, because doctors either don't understand, they don't know, or they don't understand that Lyme will attack the weakest systems. And so for me, that was bladder, you know, the excretory system, the reproductive systems, and lungs. The other thing is that Lyme brings friends, you know, and it has a lot of co-infections that come along with it. So for me, that was Epstein-Barr virus, which is horrendous, otherwise known as mono, which just feels like...
Well, that's the virus that creates chronic fatigue syndrome, right?
Yes. And so I had that too, and I had a massive mycoplasma infection in my lungs and my excretory and reproductive systems, and that's another co-infection of Lyme. And it's really interesting because I've found that a lot of the co-infections of COVID are similar to Lyme co-infections. So people who are experiencing long haul COVID can also experience mycoplasmas and Epstein-Barr and many of the other same viruses. It's really nasty. Before I went to go get the Amquil demo, I asked for a sign. And, you know, I prayed to my granny and I said, granny, you know, show me a sign. If this is what's going to help me, show me a sign. Because an Amquil is a really expensive device.
Yeah,
it's $8,000.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And the year before, this was in the beginning of 2018. And in 2017, I had made $31,000 that year. I paid $20,000 out of pocket for medical costs. So obviously upside down in the math there. I was already $65,000 in medical debt. And I had had family help above and beyond that financially. And I had, you know, cabinets full of supplements that weren't helping at all. And so I just thought to myself, there has to be something different. And so so I asked for the sign. I went to get the demo. And after the demo, I felt like remember in the old cartoons where like you would see, there'd be a black background and all of a sudden you'd see two eyeballs pop up open white, like boing.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I felt like. It was like my eyes were suddenly alert and the helmet head was still there, but it was just everything felt less. Like the brain fog was a little less. The eyes were a little more alert. And it was almost like I had an espresso, but there was no jitter, but without any jitters. And I thought, this is amazing, you know? And so I asked the woman who gave me the demo. Oh, I said, well, did you have Lyme disease? And she said, yeah, I did. You know, she said I was sick for 20 years. And then I got to 75%. And I just couldn't get past 75%.
Yeah. Wow.
And I thought, oh my God, it's my sign.
Right.
And then she said, and then I got an amp coil. And she said, after 6 months, I felt good. And after a year, I felt amazing. And I thought, oh, there's my sign. That's my sign. Mm-hmm. So then I bought one thinking, okay, well, if I spent $8,000 in 2018 on medical costs, then I'm saving I'll be saving $12,000 mm-hmm. in comparison to the $20,000 I'd shelled out the year before. And so in 2018, I ended up spending $10,000 total on medical costs. So I saved myself $10,000 and I don't have medical costs anymore.
Amazing. What exactly happened? I know you got that sign afterwards and you started to feel some results, but when they did the demo, how did they demo it? Like, give us some details on where it's put and how it works.
Sure. So the amp coil is an actual coil and an amplifier, amp coil, and there's a tablet, and on the tablet there are all sorts of journeys, and there are high level journeys from like relax all to the harmonizer to headache help or common cold, and then you can go in and dig a little deeper and do like a liver detox or kidney detox or lymphatics, or there are journeys for muscles and fascia and ligaments and bones. And then beyond that, there's an A to Z library where you can actually, if you know that you've been diagnosed with Epstein-Barr virus or chlamydia or herpes or chronic fatigue, you can go in and actually select those items and then amp coil for those particular frequencies. So I went in to do a harmonizer. So it's called Demo Harmonizer, and it's for horizontal and vertical alignment, grounding, chakras, a little nutrition, a little spinal. It just makes you feel groovy. So I went, that's the demo that I had. And basically there's a coil, and it's a round coil. It's kind of heavy. And you put it on your torso.
On your torso? Why your torso?
Well, it's kind of the middle of your body.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So, yeah. I mean, unless you had a specific need to put it elsewhere. So, for example, sometimes people come to me with shoulder pain, so we'll put it on a shoulder.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah, yeah.
So you can put it on an area that might be particularly affected with something. But generally, put it on your torso. So so this woman, I just went into her house. I laid on her couch. She put it on I drank a glass of water because the frequencies travel really nicely on water. And water holds, water has memory. So it can hold frequencies,
wow.
Right? And our bodies are mostly water.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the frequencies really, they travel and they resonate really well when you're super hydrated. So I drank a glass of water. I put the coil on my torso. I closed my eyes. It was a 27-minute demo. And, you know, when I sat up, I just felt better.
Did you feel anything during it? Like, did you feel any vibration or did you, you know, was there a shock to it? Or I'm just kidding.
No shock to it. No. I saw things. So can you see me hesitating? That sounded funny.
No, that's interesting. What happened?
Yeah. So I had my eyes closed and I was seeing sort of like gray, you know, background. Right. And then I just kept seeing bursts of purple.
Really? Wow.
It was weird. I don't know what it was, but that's what I was seeing during that first journey. And I told the practitioner afterwards and she said, and of course this is her opinion, that's your brain breaking up gray matter. And I said, okay, I don't know. But I felt that shift just a tiny bit better, you know? And so it's really interesting because now that I'm a practitioner now and people come to me now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people ask, well, what am I going to feel? What's going to happen? And I'm like,
is there fear?
Everybody.
Is there some fear and trepidation about the first experience?
Oh, no. I don't think that they're worried about, you know, is it going to hurt or something like that? You know, I think they're just curious and they want to know what to expect,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But everybody is different. And so some people, like if I run a harmonizer, if I ran a harmonizer on you and then I ran a harmonizer on, you know, your wife or your friend or whoever, the reactions could be totally, completely different. So, for example, I had one client who came in and she wears a Fitbit every day. And I guess it tracks sleep. And so on the night that we did a demo harmonizer for her, she came during the day and that night she got the best sleep that the device has ever tracked on her. And she's been doing the data for 3 years. She showed it to me. And it was like off the chart of deep sleep, off the chart of REM sleep, it was really, she's like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing ever. Right. So, you know, I tell clients, some people sleep really well. Maybe you'll sleep really well. Maybe you'll feel a little more energized. Maybe you'll feel a little more calm. Maybe you'll be a little more relaxed. One thing that I hear over and over is that people will feel tingling in a specific part of their body. So, for example, there was one woman who came and she said, you know, it went straight to my left leg. And I said, well, how is your left leg? Has anything been going on with your left leg? And she said, my left leg has been swollen for like 3 months. But I could feel the tingling in my left leg. I was like, fantastic, you know? And then somebody else said that she felt, this is funny. So I recently ran a journey on a 9/11 first responder. So I actually ran a journey for her for respiratory support. And afterwards she said, I felt it in my left knee, you know? And I said, well, that's weird because, you know, it's supposed to focus on the respiratory support. And she said, yeah, my left knee has been killing me for weeks. And then when I checked in with her a few days later, she still had no pain in her left knee for days. But that was really interesting because that was a respiratory journey.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the harmonizer, I expect it to go, you know, wherever someone needs attention. So that was really, really interesting.
I'm sure what's coming up for people is how does this thing work? And you said, I know that it works, you know, you mentioned it works differently for each person, but who invented this and how does it work? Or is it kind of like it works and we don't really need to know how it works, or what's the science behind it?
Well, so the people who invented it are, they're Lyme survivors who also were incredibly sick for years and could not find answers. And I'm not sure how it occurred to them to try frequencies. I think they might have been familiar with Rife frequencies. And so kind of went in that direction and then put their own twist on it. So for anyone who's not familiar, Rife frequencies are named after a man named Rife, who he created a Rife machine in the early 1900s. And
oh, that far back, eh?
I think it was the 1900s. I could be wrong. Forgive me if I am. And he proclaimed that he had a cure for cancer. And he ended up bankrupt. He was shut down with his claim for with his claim. And there are Rife machines that exist, and people use them for Lyme. I know many people who have Rife machines who have had great success. So I'm getting off track, but there are a list of frequencies, and they are in a directory called, I believe it's CAFL. I should have done my homework. It's either CAFL or CATL. I will find out so you can put it in show notes.
No problem. We're not going to hold you to it. No problem.
Okay. But it's a directory of all the different frequencies for everything.
Okay.
And I mean everything from like eye twitching to ingrown toenails. I mean like everything. So with the Rife machine, it can be programmed for specific frequencies for a person's particular needs. And so, which is a little bit different. So an amp coil uses sound and pulsed electromagnetic fields, which create the frequencies. So it combines the two, creates the frequencies. And then the engineers have figured out how to create what they call a sound curve. And in that, it actually cascades. So some tones are shorter, some are longer, some are louder, some are softer. And they create these combinations. I don't know how they engineer it. I mean, it's like rocket science to me. And they create these combinations, which are kind of similar to songs. That's the only way I can put it into, like, you know, a common language that we can visualize.
Music comes to me. It did when we talked earlier. Music. And you're saying this uses sound. So, yeah, it makes perfect sense that it could be in a wave, much like a song would be in a sound wave, I imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the amp coil has a tablet. And from that tablet, you can select any of the journeys that I mentioned before, like the headache help or the common cold or, you know, hormone harmony. And, you know, and so and those are called journeys. And each journey is specifically designed using these sounds and pulsed electromagnetic fields to so that they contain frequencies associated with whatever it is, you know, so frequencies associated with upper hormones or thyroid and thymus or, you know, reproductive hormones and adrenals. So it's amazing. I can't tell you how the engineers actually do it.
But it works, right? And that's what I'm sure you focus on. No need to know the science, yeah. All the details. You know what works and you use it as a healer and you see it in other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that way about so many modalities, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how EFT tapping works, but, you know, I'm doing it. Why wouldn't I do it? It's free. It's easy.
Yeah. Well, I know that works too. I've talked to lots of people that have had success with tapping.
Yeah. Yeah. And so many other amazing modalities. And what's so cool is that there are so many other amazing modalities now. You know, there's infrared saunas and red light therapy, mm-hmm. and cryotherapy and cold plunges and, you know, the squeezy pants that do the lymphatic drainage massage. And I mean, it's amazing. The technology in that way is so amazing. All the things that we can do now.
You mentioned a lot of things that are somatic, a lot of things, illnesses and problems with the body. But the focus of the podcast being mind and body, tell us how it helps the mind. Tell us about mental health. Does it have you seen results for depression and anxiety?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, part of that also is that we have to remember that mental health is physical health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, mental health, any kind of mental health, any kind of mental health challenge or imbalance is going to be caused by a physical imbalance, whether that's hormones aren't being produced, and not enough serotonin or not enough melatonin or not enough, too much cortisol, or, you know, somewhere there's some kind of imbalance, whether it's neurotransmitters are not firing properly.
Exactly.
Or, you know, things just aren't working right. And there are so many things in our environment, whether it's metals, pesticides, microplastics, molds, EMF, all of those things can so horribly damage our bodies and send them out of balance that they are factors in mental health. All of it's factors in mental health. Not to mention, you know, not to mention phones, day-to-day stresses, you know, all the other things that come along with it. So there are journeys that are specifically designed for mental health in the AMP coil. The Relax All journey works to put the body in the parasympathetic state, works to put you in it. I mean, it's amazing. It is so calming.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It is only in that state that the body can heal, right? So we have to get into that state in the first place. So that is my absolute hands down favorite journey. I run it often. There are several brain journeys that work with neurotransmitters, work with the central nervous system, work with just calming the body. They work with the parasympathetic, the amygdala, the cerebellum, all of those things that, you know, impact mental health. The hormone harmony is incredible for mental health. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, it's incredible for all health. It's incredible for menopause. Let me give a little shout out.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people would be happy to hear that. What does it do for menopause?
Well, I'm 52. I have been, I have not had a period in 2 years. So I am in menopause and I have not had one symptom, not one hot flash, not one mood swing, not one. I mean, it is incredible for just balancing hormones. It sends the frequencies for those hormones and to balance it out. It's just incredible. I mean, it also works for, you know, people for women who have really horrible periods, and for PMS and things like that. It works for men with low testosterone. The hormone harmony it's a gem. And it also helps with the emotions too.
Yeah, that's where I'm really interested as a therapist. I'm thinking it's quite possible that frequency has to do, or like the benefit of the use of sound and frequency would have an effect on how the neurotransmitters are working in the synapse of the neurons, the brain cells. Because
absolutely.
Medications either increase or inhibit regarding, say, serotonin. So I imagine the PEMF and the sound has an effect on the neurotransmitters. Do you know much about that? Can you speak to that?
I don't have a lot of details about it, I'm going to be honest. But I do know that it absolutely works with it. I mean, there are journeys. I mean, I can think of several different brain journeys that do include things like that. Actually, the positivity journey also includes, I think that also includes frequencies for neurotransmitters. And it helps with, you know, anxiety and depression. It's definitely a mood lifter. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an emotions detox on the AMP coil, which detoxes grief, anger, and fear, and And it also helps to increase frequencies for the joy, meditation, and the amygdala. It's a really incredible journey. It's very powerful because, you know, the body can, as we know, the body keeps the score, right? The body can hold stuck emotions.
There's blockages.
And those stuck emotions. Yeah. And they really do block people from healing. They really do block the energetic pathways. And so it's super important to do the emotions detox. When I see someone and I have a client where, you know, we're working on a certain thing. Like I had a client who had shoulder pain, constant shoulder pain. So we ran, you know, a journey for muscles, fascia, and ligaments. We ran a pain release. We ran, you know, I think we ran those two journeys a couple times. We weren't getting anywhere. And I said, let's run an emotions detox. Maybe there's something stuck in your shoulder, you know? It was like, okay. And so, you know, the client ran the, we ran the emotions detox. She had a couple teary days and then started to feel better. And then the next time we ran the muscles, fascia and ligaments journey, it was more effective.
Tell us more about your client's experiences and obviously, I mean, you know, with not going into detail about the person, but some successes that you've seen that even surprised you.
Oh, yeah. So
it sounds like you have a few.
Yeah. So I had a client come to me and she said she'd done a test for a parasites test and she tested positive and she wanted to cleanse for parasites. So the MCOIL has, there are several parasites frequencies that we can use. So we used tapeworms, pinworms, roundworms. I know, flukes, and amoeba. So I combined those five things and then created a journey out of that. Those were from the A to Z library, the one that where I mentioned if you were diagnosed with something, you could go and choose things. So I combined those and then put them into to what we call a smart journey, which so there's an opener and like a primer that kind of wakes your cells up and says, hey, we're here, we're going to do a little something. And then there's some journeys, or then there's some frequencies, some boosts, a little, little something to clear some metals and candida and stuff like that. And then you get into the five things that are chosen. And for us, that was the flukes and the tapeworms and the roundworms and the pinworms and the amoeba. And so we ran that journey on her. And the next day, she sent me pictures of worms that she had passed.
No kidding.
After one session. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they were really gross. But it was like, oh my God, look at this proof, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's... as physical, visual proof that she passed these things. And I think you mentioned to me something about osteoporosis or bone, that it's
yeah.
Yeah, tell us that story.
Yeah, this is from my mom.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, my mom bought an AmpCoil last summer, and 5 years ago, she was diagnosed with osteoporosis. And so... she bought an AmpCoil last summer and started to run the bone regeneration journey once a week. So she ran it once a week for the last year, and then she went and she got her bone density tested. And when the results came back, the bone mineral density in her spine had increased by 11%, and she was no longer in osteoporosis.
Wow.
And we were floored.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just hoping it didn't get worse.
Right, right.
Like, we were like, you know, if it comes back, just saying that it hasn't gotten worse, that will be such a win. And but to see, like, it increased by 11%, and she was no longer in osteoporosis. I mean, we were, like, jumping up and down and screaming, so excited.
Maybe it was successful because just before doing the interview, I took a look about PEMF. And I'm pretty sure what I read was correct, is that the FDA years ago approved PEMF therapy, what the Amquell uses, for bone fractures. So, it was approved for use for that. So maybe that's why she had that success, is because there's a history of using sound and frequency to repair bone.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, or maybe that's that was an example of the FDA actually admitting that we were right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I thought was really cool. Is, and when I looked it up, there was information that the FDA saw benefit, and I'm sure there'd be, you know, clinical trials and research behind the science of it, that they realized, yes, this works, so we're going to approve it for this kind of therapy.
Yeah, so cool.
You said your mom bought one. Maybe not everyone can afford one, but how can someone, like, you're a healer, so you've been trained in providing this. Is the experience for your mom or people using it on their own different, or are there any caveats that people should know if they're going to be using it on their own?
No, there aren't any caveats. What's wonderful about the Amquell, and what sets it, what makes it a little bit different from like the Rife machine that I mentioned earlier, besides the fact that Rife is simply PEMF, simply frequencies without the sound. So the technology is a little bit different.
Right.
But beyond that, with a Rife machine, you have to have a practitioner program it for you.
Oh,
and
okay.
So, yeah, so you can buy a machine, but then you have to hire someone to actually program it for whatever it is that you need. With the Amquell, it's like sound and PEMF for dummies. I mean, it's like, you know, you have a headache and you select headache help.
Because you're saying this is on a tablet, it's on an app. And so they figure out how to have an interface where they know that certain frequencies work for this, and you just use that journey.
Yes. Yes. And it goes for everything. Like, you know, you're feeling really low, you need a little help, you can select positivity. You know, you're feeling, you can't sleep, deep sleep. I mean, it's pretty, it's pretty, it's very user friendly. So that's the beauty of it. That said, sometimes when people are feeling really sick, which a lot of really sick people are using the Amquell, you know, it's hard to figure out what to run and why. And so sometimes, yeah. So like, I have a client who is not, she's just not feeling well. She has her own Amquell, but you know, she has a lot of brain fog, and it takes a lot of work to figure out, well, what should I run and why should I run it, and to really understand. And so, you know, so she has symptoms where there's a lot of like head pressure and eye pain and horrible fatigue. And she knows that she has Lyme disease, but really just doesn't know where to start, you know? And to me, that sounds like she's got Epstein-Barr virus and she's got a lot of virus co-infections. So I suggested, okay, well, let's Amquell for some viruses and see if that helps, you know? Probably not something she would have thought of on her own. So she's actually starting them today. So we'll see how that goes. So I do help people. I do coaching calls, and then help people come up with a plan that may work for them. And there are several people like me, also other Amquell practitioners,
other healers,
who do the same.
Yeah. What comes to mind is, I imagine that the success of these journeys that you use with these, that people use less medication. And have you seen that happen? And what are the pros and cons to someone using less of a medication from the Western thought into, well, hey, I'm feeling a lot better, so maybe I can tell my doctor that I'm going to reduce medication. What's your recommendation for someone that feels that way?
Here's the thing. Obviously, I am not a medical doctor, and I can't advise someone to take medications or not to take medications. And Amquell itself is not a medical device. You know, it doesn't claim to heal anything. Its job is to clear energetic pathways so that the body can heal itself. And we have to remember that the body is a self-cleaning oven. You know, it's totally capable of healing itself. It's just that there's too much crap, you know, blocking us from, yeah, from doing that. So when it comes to medications, I mean, I can use myself as an example. When I was sick and I started AmpCoiling, I was taking, you know, I took Valtrex for the Epstein-Barr. That's an antiviral. I was taking that for the Epstein-Barr. I was taking, I was taking cholestyramine for, well, cholestyramine resin for mold to detox mold, to chelate mold. I was taking EDTA to detox metals. I was taking, I was on so many medications, you know, and yeah. And within 1 year, I was on no medications. I'm currently not on any medications. I consider myself to be 100% healthy. And you know how I decided to get off those medications? was I was with my energy healer. And because I was doing some energy healing while I was amp coiling, and I went to her with like a massive bag of medications and said, you know, which ones can I ditch? You know, and so she tested me for each of them, and you know, we got down to like three, and then eventually I just didn't have to take them anymore. And so, but that's a really good way of testing them out. I cannot understate the value of muscle testing. And if someone doesn't know how to muscle test, learn how to muscle test. You can just YouTube it, you know, but a really easy way to muscle test is to take something, you know, like let's say I had a prescription in my hands and put it and so hold it right on my torso or up to your chest, basically, but like right here. You can't see me.
No, I see it. Hold it. Yeah, right there, in just above.
Yeah, kind of on your sternum.
Sternum, right. That's why I see you're doing that. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't figure the word. Yes. So hold it to your sternum. Stand with your feet, maybe like, you know, a foot, about a foot apart, maybe a foot and a half apart. Don't lock your knees and close your eyes and then just ask your body, do you like this or not? And you will either move forward or away. So if you start to move forward, yeah, if you start to move forward, your body likes that, whatever it is, whether it's a vitamin, whether it's a food. I mean, you can do it with, you know, granola, you could do it with milk, you could do it with anything, coffee. And if your body starts to lean away, your body doesn't like it. And that's it. You trust it. You trust it the first time. Don't do it three or four times trying to get the response that you want, because that's not, you know, that's not going to be the real answer. But that's a super easy way to muscle test. And your body will tell you if it wants the drug, the supplement, food, whatever it is. And I just recently realized you can do that with decisions too.
No way. You can ask your body if you like that decision or not, and have you get to a point of making the right choice.
Yeah. I mean, it can be, should I do this or should I do that or not? You know, should I go to the party tonight? Just hand your, you know, lock your hands in front of your sternum and let your body decide.
This makes sense. You know, and I'm sure there's some people going, wow, you know, I don't know if I can accept this. But if it's making sense for a listener, what's their first step? Like, what would you recommend them doing? Doing some reading, some researching, or how do I start? Like, where do I go to find out if this really is something that I want to do?
Well, first of all, I would really just take note and start to listen what things are coming to you, right? Because once you're on the lookout for these things, once you start to open yourself up to alternative modalities or, you know, other ways of healing, they will come to you. You'll suddenly meet someone who is a Reiki practitioner. You'll suddenly meet someone who, you know, recently saw a great Chinese herbalist. These things will start, they will just start appearing. So that's the first thing. Be on the lookout for what's coming your way. And then also think about, who might have mentioned something like this to me in the past? I had a client come here and she was incredibly ill. She had just crackly lungs and had gone to the ER, waited 8 hours. They basically said, oh, you have a little pneumonia, and gave her some kind of pill and told her to leave. I mean, it was like ridiculous. So I told her that I suspected that she had a mycoplasma pneumonia. And I said, go to the homeopathic pharmacy down on Santa Monica Boulevard and walk in there. And she said, oh, yeah, I forgot about that place. And I was like, yeah, So it's there, right? And then later she came back to see me another time. And I mentioned, I think you could really benefit from some energy healing. And she said, oh, my friend's an energy healer. Maybe I could ask her to help. And I said, yeah, So like the things are around you. They're already here. We just have to notice them. That's the first thing.
Be open to it. Be sensitive to it.
Yeah, be sensitive to it. And notice when you hear it. Oh, yeah. And so, because they will come. So that's the first thing. And then otherwise, in terms of there's a modality that you're interested in, find out how to get a demo. I recently heard about a biocharger and I was like, what's a biocharger? So just start exploring those things because it's fun. They're all fun.
It's fascinating.
Amazing.
It's fun. Absolutely. And it works. You can't, if it works, what the heck? Try it.
Absolutely.
So cool to see someone that believes in something, believes in the practice that they have, but has the passion for it. And that exudes from you. So kudos that you continue on working as a healer. Earlier, you mentioned that you are also a writer or was a writer because you're working on a memoir, right? You're working on your own book.
I am. I'm working on a memoir. Yes, I'm an author. I've written two books, two novels before. And so and they're called Fingerprints and Choosing Tally.
Fingerprints and
Choosing Tally. And now I'm working on a memoir about my journey healing chronic Lyme disease in a country with for-profit healthcare. Yeah. And it all started, I went to this writing retreat last summer in Greece. It was amazing. And there were writers from all over the world there. And they were all working on memoirs. And I was working on a different novel, one I have not published yet. And 3 days into the retreat, I was like, I'm supposed to write a memoir about surviving chronic Lyme disease in a country with for-profit healthcare. And we had done an exercise one day where we wrote a scene. And so I read mine aloud. And in the scene, I was in the hospital with a horrible kidney infection. And I had to sneak out because I couldn't afford to stay. So yeah, the nurse wanted to put me in a room. I got to the ER. The nurse wanted to put me in the room overnight and I couldn't afford to stay. So I had to sneak out. And so I read the scene aloud and the writers were so confused because they were from England, the Netherlands, France,
Canada,
Australia, South Africa. So, mm-hmm. Why did you have to leave? We don't understand.
As Canadians, we would be confused about that, but I get it. I understand that why you had to leave. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You too would be very confused. Yep. Yes, that's true. Yes. And so, so I had to leave. And at that moment, they were so shocked. And they said, the United States is like one of the richest countries, that was a slip.
In some ways, it's a big corporation, right?
Oh, it is. It's a giant corporation. That's what it is. Yep. One of the richest countries in the world. How can they do that to their people? And that's when I was like, I've got to write this book, because the rest of the world doesn't really understand what's happening here. And Americans don't understand what's happening here. Half of them don't even realize that it is not normal to have to throw a GoFundMe when your friend gets cancer. It's not normal. It's not acceptable.
Is it finished now, or are you still working on it, or?
So I am on my third draft. I wrote the longest book in the world. It was 640 pages after my first draft. And so I am chopping to get it down to an acceptable length. But yeah, it is getting close. And then I'll start submitting it. So to get it published.
That's very exciting. You must have a lot to say if you're starting with that length and trying to cut it down. So it sounds like it's going to be a great book. Wrapping up, talking about authors, Maya Angelou must be someone that you really look up to and respect.
Yes.
Because you gave me a quote to use at the end here as we're doing with a lot of the episodes. So interested to know why this is important to you and what it says to you. So this is from Maya Angelou. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite quotes, because it took me a really long time to learn that. You know, in that time of being disassociated, right, from my body, I didn't have the sensitivities that I have now. One of the greatest gifts of Lyme disease was that I'm highly sensitive now, and I can sense someone's energy a block away. And that's a gift, because it lets me know exactly what I'm in for, or what to avoid, or what to embrace. And I didn't have those sensitivities. I didn't have those gifts for a really long time. I was very much embedded in the culture of, you know, ignoring everything and you know, ignoring my feelings, ignoring my instincts, ignoring my intuition, ignoring my body. And so if someone were to treat me horribly, it didn't occur to me, you know? It didn't occur to me that that wasn't okay. It didn't occur to me that they were even behaving badly sometimes, you know? Like I was very much a people pleaser, and very much just in the mindset of, oh, it's okay, he's a good guy, it's all good, blah, 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 when they're terrible, right? And so part of the journey with Lyme disease, and part of the journey, my healing journey was, and even in if you look at the hero's journey, right, and near the end of the journey is atonement, which to me became at-one-ment, and me reassociating with my body, reassociating with my intuition. And now when someone shows me who they are, I'm good. I got it. You know,
you don't need another time, because she says, believe them the first time, meaning that go with what your body and your mind are telling you at that time about that person. You don't need more information.
That's exactly it.
Because we tend to dismiss our gut feeling or our instinct or intuition, our sensitivity. We tend to kind of question that and rationalize it. But wow, that's pretty powerful. Go with what the info that you're getting at the beginning, and not challenge
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is so cool. I would hope that we have an audience in California. But people that are in the LA area, Los Angeles area, how would they contact you? What is your website? How can they reach out to you?
My website is SuzanneCasamento.com. You can fill out a form through the website, and I will absolutely respond. Beyond that, I do group sessions. So the coil has a radius, like a 4 to 5 foot radius. And so I can put the coil in the center of a room, and then have people put their feet in, but fan outwards,
wow,
like in a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do a guided meditation. It's amazing.
When are you going to do this for the American Medical Association? Imagine that.
Can you imagine?
This has been so much fun. Just like when we first talked, this has been very enjoyable, really enlightening, and I appreciate your time and coming in the studio to talk about your practice as a healer. I really appreciate that. All the best to you in the future.
Well, thank you. I really, really appreciate you having me. And I've had so much fun, and I want to keep in touch and hear all about your demo.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that as soon as I do the demo here in the Toronto area, then I'll reconnect with you. And maybe based on the results, you can help me interpret them and see how I can move forward in improving my mind and body.
Yeah. Totally.
All right.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks again. Take care.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Well, there we go. A bit of an education about amp coil and about what Lyme disease is. Did that help you kind of understand this thing a little bit more?
Yeah, like now the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get up on the old World Wide Web and do some further research. And I'd physically like to see this product. Again, we're an audio podcast, so she did her best to explain how it works, but it's amazing. Like through sound waves and. I just find the whole process is amazing. And apparently she's had, and her clients, success with this
product.
Her
mom. Like, you know, she used amp coil with her mom, and her mom found benefit from it. In research, I found out that it actually was, to give it, you know, the credibility, reading about it, there's some controversy about PEMF and amp coil. In other, you know, types of therapy like that, but you gotta look at that. PEMF was approved by the FDA back in 2007, but for more specific things like fractures, maybe not as much as the wide variety of things that this apparently treats. But you know what we should do? Anytime that we're not quite sure, we bring in our resident mind body expert, Dr. Robert. Maybe we should bring him in next week and see from his point of view, because he's a researcher, he's a psychologist and researcher, and he probably would know more than we do about this and could provide some additional information.
Now, are you skeptical?
Well, like I said, I'm a believer, and I am. I get it, but I think what I'm skeptical about is how it works, like our confusion at the very beginning, you know? I think that it has to do something about, you know, introducing energy, but it doesn't actually heal the problem. Let's say depression. It doesn't heal depression, but it does something with the electromagnetic fields that people do later on find benefit. But yeah, I'm a believer, but then I guess I'm on the fence once again, as I have been in the past.
I found out one thing with your interview. It's an expensive piece of equipment.
It is. Yeah. It's about $8,000 American to get one of these machines.
But again, technology and medicine, the two, it seems these days, the two go hand in hand, technology and medicine.
A lot of hospitals have adopted a new type of therapy for depression that is widely accepted. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Transcranial stimulation, I think, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reboots the brain. Like there's more research on that than PEMF.
Actually, another thing, too, we talk a lot about mental health here on Mind Body Matters. And I was surprised to see that this is something, the amp coil therapy, if you will, helps out with mental health.
You know what? Whatever works for the person works. And we don't know if there's a placebo effect with this. But Rob, that's, I think, kind of where my being a believer goes into a bit of a skeptic, is that part I don't understand. You know, it obviously doesn't change the brain chemistry in clinical depression. So how do people find benefit from this?
Now, are you going to actually have a demo down the road?
Yeah, that was the idea. As I mentioned, you know, I was open to a demo and I'm waiting to hear back about that. And I think, you know, personally having the therapy would probably help me understand a little bit more, but I'm going to kind of leave the whole thing to Dr. Robert to do his deep dive research and come back to us with some information, maybe before I do the demo, so I'm a little bit more educated on it.
He's a wealth of knowledge, Dr. Robert, so I look forward to what he could find out about Ann Coyle.
Our resident mind and body expert. And he'll be back next week with his opinions and the pros and cons of PEMF. So we'll be back with him. But meanwhile, be kind to yourself.
And most importantly, be well.
Be sure to like and follow us on all social media. And if you like what you hear, hit subscribe, download, and share with your friends. Mind Body Matters is a Great Media production.